I feel like Kobe.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley. Dive into the mind of former NFL quarterback Clint Sterner.
I like a good time. I like to have a party.
I know you do.
It's Dirty's Daily.
A lot of bodies on Van Vliet. Green to Thompson.
Hot potato.
Oh, how about that to Shingoon? The Rockets just beat the Hawks in their full court press. They do it again.
Oh, goodness.
Look at this. Look by Hunter to give them the lead. Just did miss it. And then the Hawks were pressuring the ball. The Rockets played keep away. Shingoon then with the dunk. And they win it 100-96. An ugly win is still a win.
An ugly win is right. That this is a makeup game for the snowstorm that came through that hit Atlanta as well a little earlier in the season. So it was both of these teams came off the road to Atlanta and played in back-to-back nights. And it looked like a back-to-back night game, Ron. There was some heavy legs, no doubt about it, across the board for the Rockets. And they end up getting out of there with a win, 100-96. And it was a sloppy game. It was an ugly win, but it was entertaining. It was entertaining as hell. Jalen Green ended up with the high point man, 25 points. And they had to scrounge it together to get a W. But another one of those games for me, Ron, where as you're watching them beat a team without their A game. Again, whether it's the heavy legs or you know, guys getting in foul trouble or guys just not playing, they're rested instead. To go get a W and for it to come down to the wire and be able to get it done, there's something about this group that's got a clutch gene in them as well.
Yeah, I think this is like with this team and their first year. When I say first year, their first year really taking it up a notch and being contenders is this was like a maturity win, right? You're coming off a back-to-back, and you've just done what you've done, man. You've swept the Cavs. You've now beaten the Celtics on the road. That was an emotional game, and you got a back-to-back, and Eason's going to be out and not going to play, and you're not going to – Cam Whitmore has an illness, is sick, and some of your bench players are limited. What do you do? This was an issue for them. We used to see this Rockets team step up and play against the Warriors, step up and play against the Lakers, but then they would lose games that they shouldn't be losing, teams they shouldn't be losing to, and wouldn't play to the same level. Now, I don't think they played to the same level that they did when they played the Cavs or the Celtics, but they knew how to get to a level to play enough to get past a team like the Hawks.
Yeah.
And I think that's a maturity thing there. And the thing they have going right now, which is a really, really cool thing. Now, I don't know if it's a great thing when you start to get in a 7-game series, but they got a deal of, hey, man, anybody can hit you. Right?
Yeah.
Like last night, it was Shingoon and it was Jalen Green and the last couple of games, they've kind of been off, and it was Amen Thompson, and then Dylan Brooks went and got you 36 and hit 10 threes, and they've got Fred VanVleet the other night against the Cavs, went out, made 7 threes or something, and he was the big guy that jumped. They've got guys that are hitting you every night. Tonight it could be somebody else. Especially in the regular season, that is a good thing because you're scoring and come from anywhere.
They're deep with guys that are on brand for the Rockets, which is tough ass defense, move without the ball, and they're deep with guys that, as you mentioned, on any given night, they're not going to give you 25 or 30 every night, but any given night could come up and be the reason that you win. And they have the confidence to those guys have the confidence to, when they're hot, to shoot the rock and get their shots up. So last night was definitely one of those. I'll tell you one thing about last night's game before I move on to this stat that I had, Ron. Any concern about Shingoon? Last night, Shingoon looked like they had a couple of big dudes. Atlanta had a couple of big dudes down there in the paint and made life really, really difficult for Shingoon. Now, he's ended up scoring 18, went to the free throw line a few times, had some buckets on again, hustle plays. But it looked like You know, a lot of times I've watched Ngun this year, and it's get the ball, and it's, I mean, he's lowering his shoulder, and he's burying guys under the bucket.
Physical.
Last night, it seemed like he bumped up against some dudes, a couple of guys that were a little bit more physical and a little bit more wiry, if you will. And I don't know if it's the dead legs, the fatigue, or if it's something to look into.
I was going to point to that. I think him being tired, or just heavy legs back to back, and playing a lot of games and playing a lot of minutes. Yep. I would probably lean towards that.
All right, here's the stat, boys. I heard Reginald Atatula on In the Loop talking about this. He actually got this stat from Ben DeBose. The Rockets are now, after the last, they had 21 turnovers last night, and they won 100-96. They are now, Ron, 6-0. When turning the basketball over 20-plus times. It's a magic number. A little bit backwards here. If they have more than 20 turnovers, they win the ball game.
They're rooting for it at 17. Come on, get three more.
They're 6-0, right, in those games. And here's the question I have is, because I'm actually torn on this one. Is that something that, as a Rockets fan, we should be concerned about? Or is that something that is more of a product of how they're playing basketball right now? Back to our point a while ago, Ron, about anybody can step up on any given day. I looked up last night, and again, Jalen Green brings the ball up one time. You look over, and all of a sudden, Thompson's bringing the ball up the floor, and Thompson's careless with the basketball. He's obviously not a guy you want consistently bringing it up the floor.
I don't think.
But is that a number, and forget the six wins being 6-0. Look, I mean, 20-plus turnovers, that's a big number, right?
So I want to do a deeper dive and see who those games were against.
Yeah. But, well, I just wonder, I got a feel after watching them for a while, Ron. I think the turnovers are something that we're just going to have to ignore more so than some teams that have a true point guard that's handling the ball 25. Handling the ball 75% of the time.
Well, I think Udoka is not thinking that way. It should be, and really, he shouldn't. This isn't like a team that, you know, is like the Pacers, especially from last year, or the Warriors in the past, a team that just gets up and down, and you play at a certain pace, you're just going to turn the ball over more because there's a lot more possessions. This is a team that can go through droughts of scoring. They have issues shooting, so if you're, you know, giving away possessions, that obviously doesn't help you. And as somebody here on the text line said, not a recipe for playoff success, Clint. Yeah, and that's what I would agree as well. A team that at times can struggle scoring the basketball doesn't need to give away possessions. Yeah. Even though they play great defense, and they may be the best defensive team in the league, but that is something they damn sure need to tighten up.
Well, yeah, I wonder how much of it just turnovers in general, I wonder how much of it is a product of so many different guys being tasked with bringing the ball up the floor, the pace of play offensively. If Van Vliet doesn't have it in his hand, the pace of play is breakneck. I wonder how much of the issue is that versus, boy, these guys just turn the damn ball over too much. Now, I mean, look, there's, like you said, Udoka probably doesn't care. But I, as a fan, I just look at it and go, you know, I'm going to, like right now, Amen Thompson is careless with the basketball. But I have no problem with him having it in his hands.
Yeah.
I have no problem with him bringing it up the floor. And I don't know if careless is the right word as much as just not very good, like just not a very good distributor at times, right, with the basketball. So I don't know where I land on the turnover issue. Obviously, again, the number, it's an important stat. It can't be through the roof, and you can't expect to win playoff games versus great basketball teams that way. But it is something that I believe that we may have to get used to, a little bit more used to, with this particular team. Tyler, watching that game last night, how'd you feel about your Dylan Brooks bet?
Made it a little close there at the end, but
did he get it?
He was sitting
no.
there. He was sitting there with 8 for a long stretch.
Finished with 11.
He was sitting there with 8 for a long stretch.
And he finished with 11.
But I mean, that's your fault, Tyler. You just can't.
Well, yeah.
You just can't do that with Dylan Brooks. You can't bet on Dylan Brooks.
Well, I mean,
not for points.
He just hit 10 threes.
Hey,
I know that's a sign.
I knew it was a roll. I knew
best
it was
best
the dice.
Best bets is becoming a really integral part of my basketball watching at night. Like, I'm sitting there watching. Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm sitting there watching that game, T, and I'm watching Dylan Brooks' body language, and I'm like, it ain't happening. Hey, man, you talk about heavy legs. If I was Dylan Brooks, I'd have tapped out of that joke. I said, Coach, I'm a vet, man. Get me over to the side.
He gave it his all the night before.
I mean, you know, like, he's got that. When you watch the Rockets, he's got that. I mean, he's going to just hustle and bang his way into a handful of rebounds and putbacks.
Yeah.
Hey, he had zero interest last night, Chief.
He hustled into that scuffle with about a minute left in the game last night.
Hey, he was playing like Steph Curry last night. I don't know if it's because he hit 10 threes last night or because he was had heavy legs, but his ass was hovering around that 3-point line. I thought, boy, Tyler, this ain't the wave. This ain't the wave I was talking about riding.
And honest to God, to me, that right there though is why when people talk about the regular season versus the playoffs and why it's such a different game. This to me is an advantage a team like the Rockets have, right? They got enough dudes that are excited about playing every game because of their youth and their age and they're deep too. I'm telling you, I watched the Lakers yesterday on the second half of their back to back, and if you'd have told me AD really didn't hurt himself, I would have believed it. Now they said he's out for a week, so maybe he did really hurt himself. But they're like, they got some older dudes. Is like, man, this back to back thing, man. I'm cool on. But that's a big, you know, advantage for the Rockets is, like, you look at Jalen was out there. Come on, y'all, let's go. Jalen had another quarter in him. Hey, like, let's go.
I'm telling you, if I was Dylan Brooks, I damn sure would have tapped into that old youth and that depth last night. I said, hey, MA, let me get this one. He kept putting him back out there on the floor, and I was like, it don't matter. He ain't getting these damn points. He didn't even give a rip, man. It was wild.
My man said he had 36 last night.
Take a day off.
He surely can get 15.
I was hoping he could just get about a third of that, man, or half of that. Come on.
That's it. The Rockets, they win again. No, it's sloppy, but they won again, 196 in Atlanta. They did have 21 turnovers last night, so the streak is still rolling. 6-0 when they have 20 or more turnovers. Not a stat that you would like to continue, at least from a turnover perspective. The next game is tomorrow at Memphis. They will have a travel day there, Tyler, so they can get their legs back underneath them. So this may be a good game to.
I'll look out for the next Dylan Brooks prop.
This would be a good game to bet on him right here, man. Let's quit on him back to back.
How many times they gonna play the damn Grizzlies?
Rolling, baby. They are rolling. Man. I'm Clint Sterner. That's Ron. The show Hughley T. Mill is behind the glass. You listen to Sports Radio 610 Houston's sports leader. Real quick, Ron. There is. There's a thought out there that, little draft talk here, there's a thought out there that the number 2 overall pick, who is the Cleveland Browns, are entertaining taking Shedeur Sanders, which I think is interesting for multiple reasons. I think they should. I mean, I think you should take, I mean, you can't pass on this opportunity. But, boy, you think about them taking a quarterback with their number 2 overall pick while paying Deshaun Watson 90-some-odd million over the next couple of years. And introducing a young quarterback into that debacle. But I can't help but be honest with you. I immediately went to, does Deion Sanders let his son play, get drafted and play in Cleveland?
I don't put anything past Deion.
I want the dogs.
And yes, Archie did it. You think Deion really would do that? Like, you think Deion would stand in and step, like, would pull this?
Absolutely.
100%.
Really?
100%. And I don't blame him on this one. I do not blame him on this one.
He has done it. Like, when push comes to shove, you think Deion is going to go in there and try to dictate where Shedeur goes?
Did you hear he called?
I know what he said.
Did you hear he called Shedeur when Shedeur was in a meeting with the team? He knew he was in the meeting. He called him, and he answered the phone. Deion Sanders. I can't remember what team
it
was.
I know he likes to
answer your question, I think Deion Sanders is absolutely 100% going to make sure that his son does not end up in a dysfunctional organization. And there is not a more dysfunctional organization year over year than that one with them ugly-ass orange helmets.
I don't know. What's he going to let him go to the Raiders? You gonna skip over the Raiders too?
Yeah, Pete Carroll. Yeah, I would.
They gonna let him go to Pete?
I think he would. I think he would entertain that. I think he would do that before. I think it's the extreme situations where I don't think he's going to let him go to New York Giants. Which right now they think Cam Ward is going to go there anyway. I don't think he'll let him go to the Giants. I don't think the Browns. Like there is.
I mean, the Browns have been ruined by just how bad the quarterback play was.
Right.
From that guy.
They had that blip of Flacco and then back to the bad quarterback.
Yeah, man. But you know, it's a very difficult place for quarterbacks to play, reportedly, in terms of the conditions.
And the wind and playing off the lake.
It's not a lot
to do in that city.
It's dysfunctional as hell.
Now, hold on. That's not true. I had a good ass time.
We had a good time.
Now, listen. Not bad.
I've never been.
I was just saying, Tyler, I would have rolled right past you in that.
Cleveland, that's good.
Cleveland, we had great dinner on the water, nice little spot there, it's a good time. It's not bad.
That's not bad. Correct.
It's not bad unless you're the quarterback for the Browns on a Sunday afternoon. It's snowing off and windy as hell coming off that lake. Yeah. It was not bad in that little restaurant on the what was that? Some kind of intercoastal canal or something we were on?
Yeah.
It couldn't have been intercoastal canal. Hell, we're in Cleveland. It had to be off. Well, I guess a lake.
Yeah.
Does a lake have intercoastal? I guess all lakes are intercoastal, ain't they?
Maybe it was a peninsula.
No, it's not a coast. Yeah.
Big ass lake. We was on that water.
Kevin,
there was water.
Yeah, you had to take it too far. Kevin Stefanski, he's a 2-time coach of the year. He's been there like 4 years.
Yeah, I still just can't, for whatever reason, I would not, if I had a son and he was a top-tier quarterback, I would not want to see him in that orange helmet.
All I'm saying is if he is going to do this, and I'm not saying it is off the table, I just wonder, push come to shove, he's really going to do it. He going to run through some dysfunctional organizations that could be up there in need for a quarterback. Because the Jets might be up there. You're going to let him run there?
But there's another one. Yeah, maybe he likes Aaron Glenn. I don't know. But, you're right. That is another. They got number 7 overall pick. That's another one. But you just look at Cleveland, man. The history of dysfunction, the history of quarterbacks, the current situation with a quarterback that you paid a boatload of money to, that God knows what's going to happen to him. The elements that you have to play in. There's just a lot of bad there, man.
Here it is. Tennessee, they're probably in need of a quarterback. They're the number one pick. I don't know if he goes there. Cleveland, as you said.
Tennessee, it's the extreme ones that I would let him go to Tennessee.
What about the Giants?
I'm out on the Giants.
Brian Daboll, you're out on Brian Daboll?
Well, I'm out on that front office that sat there and said, if we trade Saquon Barkley, right? What are we going to do? What's our identity?
So then New England's not drafting a quarterback. Jacksonville's not. Then you got the Raiders next. And then you got.
I would let him go to the Raiders.
And the Jets.
Jets are out.
How about the Saints?
I really like Aaron Glenn. Jets are out.
What about the Saints? You gonna let them go? They're a little rough.
Depends on who gets the job. We haven't seen who gets the job yet.
I'm just saying, like, if it's dysfunctional organizations, boy, they're all climbing in there. I mean, they're in there, Jack. So I mean, it's a lot of them. So that's a tough. That's what I'm saying, man. You gonna fool around and have this kid out here down in the. In the team.
Hey, I don't know, man. It would be hard. It's hard for me right now to think that Deion's not. I know they're talking about it. Like the Browns general manager's up there talking about, you know, how much they like him. They don't think it's going to be difficult to get him to play there. Ooh, I don't know, man.
Yeah. All right, coming up, we think about the new coordinator with C.J. Stroud, But how could the new coordinator affect somebody else on this offense? We'll discuss that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
CJ scrambling to the left, squaring up. CJ throwing back of the end zone. Caught, Nico Collins! Touchdown, Houston! Stroud with the improvisation to find Collins in the end zone.
There it is, Mark Vandermeer on Nico Collins, that touchdown. And Nico is an interesting one when we're looking at who's going to be the next person running this offense. Clint, is it going to be the same offense? Is it going to be a new system that not only CJ has to learn, but that will use other parts differently? Anywhere from Joe Mixon to anybody else on the team, what are they going to do? If you missed it, Bill Lazor's the latest one that we'll interview. He'll interview tomorrow for the Texans' senior assistant, former OC for 3 different teams in the NFL. But that's the one with Nico Collins, right? Nico Collins has come on in the last 2 years and shown to be one of the best receivers in football. He followed up last year's, you know, almost 1,300-yard receiving year, 80 catches, 8 touchdowns, with another impressive performance, over 1,000 yards, 7 touchdowns in 12 games.
Nico has got him on fire, baby.
And I know it took you a minute. Hell, it took all of us. But it took you a minute to warm up to Nico being the player that he's appeared to be. But now there's no denying it right now. Are you convinced, though, right now, and people, you can jump in, what's your thoughts on this? Are you convinced right now that Nico is a player, that it doesn't matter what system he's in, it doesn't matter who the OC is, it doesn't matter who's calling the plays, that he is going to be somebody that will continue the production that we've seen over him for the last couple of years?
Yeah, as long as Nico Collins stays healthy, I got zero concerns.
Yeah, he said it doesn't matter. So this isn't a big thing for him system-wise.
No, for me it's not. I mean, you talk about a great route runner with good size that is strong through the catch, contact at the catch point doesn't bother him. Speed to get over the top when need be. Extremely difficult to tackle after the catch. Nico is the full package. As I've said before, I mean, I think the one thing that, whether the offense just didn't showcase it, or Nico just doesn't have, it's not as much of a strength as the other stuff. Like, the one thing we haven't seen from Nico is a lot of like back shoulder type throws.
Or even
just straight fades. Like we didn't see a whole lot of that. Now I don't know if that's the offense or if it's Nico, but that's really my only concern with not even a concern. That's really my only spot where I look at Nico and go, hell, he's shown us everything else. And I'll argue that the guys that can go out there and do the 50-50 stuff are typically sloppy in their route running. They're not very precise in their route running. So, I got zero concerns about it. In fact, I would say right now, as a total package, looking at each player as a total package, Nico Collins and Joe Mixon are the two guys that I have zero.
No matter what. See, even with Joe Mixon, no matter what system he's in.
Zero concerns.
Really?
Zero concerns.
That zone blocking, it seems like he has been perfect for that. Where he cut back and used things. He would be one that's a little bit more, because we watched, and I'm not saying he's like this person, but we clearly saw a system just made Damian Pierce look like a guy who at times don't even belong in the league.
Yeah.
You know, from a running back perspective. I can get with you on Nico. Nico, it seems to be the things that he does well should be able to find a way to be done in all offenses, right? I hope that there's a coordinator that isn't afraid to move him around more.
Yeah,
I would hope is this a coordinator coming in that has the ability to say, all right, man, I'm not going to just keep him in a box because of his size and just lay him and leave him out there. We've seen him, man. If we get the ball to him, hell. You know, in any way, he's hard to bring down. Yep. He can run every route in the route tree. I think he should be enhanced by it.
Well, that's another thing, not just necessarily talking Nico Collins, but talking the next offensive coordinator, which is the hottest topic in the city right now, right, is like that guy has to be able to do those things second nature, right? Whether we're talking about using Joe Mixon in the true pass game or we're talking about Nico Collins doing – more than just being that boundary receiver, unless they load up again with Tank Dell and Steph Diggs and a group like that, you're going to have to move Nico Collins around and get more pre-snap out of Nico Collins, right? I mean, the truth of the matter is Nico can do it all, but boy, I mean, what's he capable of doing? One, if he stays healthy for 17 games, and there's an offensive coordinator that's going to move him around a little bit. There's no telling, man. There's no telling what kind of year this dude
could
throw up.
Bad MF-er.
Yeah, someone also said the only reason why it wasn't good because he didn't have CJ. Because you do see a clear difference. And to me, I think there may have been a little bit of both. I think the system and what they did may have fit him more. And obviously, C.J. Stroud is different from the other quarterbacks. But you look at it in 2022, he's 37 catches, 481 yards, two touchdowns. There's some injuries there. And that jump under Bobby Slowick with C.J. Stroud then jumps to 1,308. And then it continues. And I think he probably would have topped those numbers
Had he not missed 6 games. He was a lesser player. The quarterback was a lesser player. The play caller was lesser than Bobby Slowick. And the building, the Texans themselves were extremely dysfunctional to exist in the middle of. And so it's no wonder that Nico didn't flourish until all of that was cleaned up. Yeah, I mean, hell, it's obviously.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, Nico Collins, somebody that shouldn't be greatly affected by the new OC. That is the running game, though. That to me is one, like, if you want to stay in this system, because that's one I could see it being affected. That's one I could see, like, hey, man, they've been running this cutback thing, and Joe Mixon may be the best, you know, at least, you know, in the game. Him, Christian McCaffrey, the guys that really running that system. Until we were just talking about that, I didn't think about the thought of that system change for a runner like him. And he got so many yards and did so many good things for Joe Mixon to run that at. That, to me, could be a deal of thought of, hey, do we really want to change all this? Do we really want to change not just the terminology, but what it is that we do? Because I do think Joe Mixon fits this, like this style that they run in right now. And I wonder if it is a change to a more downhill thing. Like, I think Joe Mixon would, I don't think he would fall off the map the way that Damian Pierce did in a change. But I don't know if this suits his vision and his skill set as well as other things could.
Yeah, look, I think he's a total back. I think he can do it all. I don't think he is scheme dependent. Clearly his, you know, he's really, really good in his own scheme. But you know, you look at this offensive line was not good in his own scheme. Offensive line wasn't good in any run scheme, but they were not good. I mean, they had their times, you know, they had their moments, if you will, but
we sucked.
They weren't really good in any scheme, but not the zone scheme either. So, I don't know. I don't know. I'm less concerned about scheme and more concerned about who the hell's doing it. Like, there better be some familiarity with the scheme and the terminology if you're bringing in a guy that's never done anything before. That's never called plays before. But if you're bringing in a guy like Chip Kelly, who is like, hey, man, I got this offense. D'Amico, you handle the team and the defense. I got the offense. I have zero concerns that if the guys that are in-house don't fit, he'll find guys that'll get it done.
It's hard to see. And with whoever the new coordinator is, with those talents, you would hope that, hell, even if they have to grab some stuff from the previous offense that maybe isn't what they do, that they would implement that with their talents. Like, can you make move and add that kind of stuff? And Nico Collins, great on screen. Hell, maybe that's something you really push up in the offense. Some of the zone stuff, maybe that's something you really push up on the offense. Brandon Scott coming up here in just a bit. Caitlin Clark really disappointed me with this.
What'd she do?
Caitlin Clark has declined the NBA's offer to participate in the three-point contest during the All-Star weekend.
Shut them down, huh?
Sources said Clark is not interested in a three-point shooting contest. Like, that was cool when Sabrina went against Steph Curry last year. It was the only good thing that happened in All-Star.
Wrong size ball, man.
They let her use the regular balls. They let Sabrina use the women's balls. And I remember
you could say ball. You don't have to put an S on the end of
that. Well, it is. It's more.
No, it was. That was childish of me, but it was funny.
It's
in my mind.
A rack of balls that go all the way around.
He did it on purpose.
I didn't. I'm just saying, listen, man, I'm just doing the job here. Rack of balls that fit around. And they
You're
even
referring
asked,
to the size of the ball. You don't need to put an S on it.
The same balls. They same balls,
multiple
shooting.
They're
multiple
shooting. You're using a men's ball or a women's ball?
And then that or bonus
they're,
balls.
They're shooting the women's balls. It's the racks or the men's balls.
No, they're all the women's
balls. I like the bonus balls.
Yeah, the women's balls is what she was shooting. And they get the bonus ball. Yeah. But no, it's four of them. So there's a bonus. There's bonus balls. They're okay, in there okay. each rack.
I love my maturity.
There. They are. They are. No, but I'm disappointed. And listen, I'll be honest. It's very LeBron-like, and it's one of the real disappointments that I have with LeBron. That LeBron never
that in his hairline.
That he never just Sabrina. Obviously, your word doesn't matter, and your friends' words don't matter. And he's just like this isn't anybody else's fault with the hairline anymore. It's clearly him being stubborn and putting his foot down, and he's just not going to do it. And he's clearly not going to be forced. He's 40. It's done. But he's just walking around like this. But no, one of the most disappointing things is LeBron never competed in the slam dunk contest.
Well,
and I feel like this is kind of what Caitlin's doing. Like, nah, man.
No, man, she's doing it for the women's game. That was her reasoning. She doesn't want she.
I can respect that.
She
that
doesn't
case.
Want it. Man, she doesn't
really
want to.
She could do both.
No, nope.
they can really shine the light on.
She's
the,
trying to get in good graces, man. Yeah,
that's a good
really,
point.
She's trying to get really in good shine the light on both
league, man.
This would be a bigger thing. This could shine the light on the women's game.
She doesn't want to
go 1-on-1 against Steph Curry.
She doesn't want to get involved in a 3-point contest until it's a WNBA All Star.
I'm actually with Rod on this because she could if she perform well, then she's doing interviews with everybody on the court afterwards.
Oh, I'm just telling you what she said.
Yeah, listen.
Yeah, no. I know. I just she should be. Doing it.
I'm telling you, I'm disappointed.
Why don't she? They invite Steph to her damn game.
Well, that just wouldn't be fair.
Sure, do it, but let's hey, man.
She ain't doing it.
The Citadel doesn't get to host home games on Alabama. All right.
Bet you Cheryl Swoops would participate.
Let's get a couple of these. Then maybe Alabama will visit South Florida coming up here. I'll be honest with you. All Star Weekend, if they put Sabrina and Caitlin. And let those two go 1-on-1 a 3-point contest. It would be better than anything else.
Is Sabrina the attractive
NBA All Star Weekend puts together
real attractive one?
For me, it's the shooting. I'm not.
She's a good looking gal, but I don't think it's.
I don't
one.
Look at her.
You're
like
you're
that.
Thinking of Kelsey Plum. Kelsey
yes.
Plum.
As
which
soon
one
as you
is
said
is
that
Kelsey?
Name, I think I she believe that's
traded.
One.
She's got
she
traded.
Did, man, she's strong.
Like to yeah. pick her like
yeah,
a plum.
Yeah. Waller's not really been able to recover since then. All right, coming up. Brandon Scott, Rockets report. He's going to be in studio. I'd already talked to him. We already had half the segment during one of the breaks earlier in the hallway. Brandon Scott, he'll join us coming up next.
We're talking hoops, H-Town. Our guy, B. Scott, has all the latest from the hardwood in Clutch City.
Ain't nobody in here acting like no bitches.
It's the Rockets report.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
On The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Hey, Houston fans, I am so happy.
All right, it is now Rockets report time every single Wednesday. Right here, 4:40, Brandon Scott joins us. And Brandon, this feels a little different than the regular Rockets that we're covering. Reminder, check out the H-Town Hoops podcast. You can find it anywhere. Odyssey app. You can find it anywhere you find your podcast. Him and Adam Spillane do multiple episodes a week. Check it out.
New one dropping tomorrow.
New one dropping tomorrow on Thursday, so check it out. And listen, the Rockets, I heard you say this earlier this week on In the Loop, and I was with you. It was after that Boston game. It was very much of the thought of, hey, like it's really sinking in that this is a team that's going to be in the playoffs. This is a team that's going to be a factor, and I think probably going to be a top four seed. It feels like that. Yes, I know in the Western Conference you could have a bad week and drop a couple of seeds, but it feels like the Rockets are going to be a team that's something to deal with all year long, and it's going to be a preparation, not just for the play-in, but the playoffs.
Man, I remember when we were having the conversation of could they win 50 games? Like, is it a 50-win team? You know, and now, where are they now? It looks like
32, 33.
Yeah, it looks like they're going to probably get pretty close to that. And now, like, the point is the expectation for the team has consistently changed the better that they play. And more importantly and more specifically, the more that they show up against worthwhile opponents. I think the timing of all of this is really cool. How, you know, you just had this game against Atlanta last night, And where I really started looking at the Rockets in this way, really started taking them seriously like this, is a couple of weeks ago, middle part of the month, when they had, and they're playing Memphis tomorrow, right? When they've got those back-to-back games against Memphis. There was supposed to be an Atlanta game in between them, but it got postponed. That's the game that they played last night, the reschedule of that one. And they win both of those games against Memphis. You fast forward to a few days ago, and they win those back-to-back games against the Cleveland Cavaliers. Memphis, Cleveland, both real legitimate teams. And then you get to the Boston game, and that happens. You're like, oh, well, wait a minute now. They're showing up on a nightly, consistent basis against teams that you expect to be in a mix in the playoffs, and that's not something that you would have said. Like, you could see them show up a night here or there, or get up here or there. The back end of a back-to-back against a team like Atlanta, and to show up and still be able to win that game last, like, you're starting to see
a mature win, more
consistent winning characteristics of this team.
How real do you think it is, B. Scott? I mean, because you talk about how, like, the basketball is obviously significantly better, but you're talking about the two right now in the West, and I mean, right now, if you just look at records and it's about, look at the wins, the quality wins. I mean, this is a team that's up there with anybody. Do you believe right now at this point in time, are you ready to put it out there that the Rockets can make a real run in the playoffs?
Yeah, from where we sit right now, and look, things could change. That they could go the opposite direction, and somebody could emerge. Like, there are teams that are behind the Rockets that have more, like, proven and well-established players and veterans and teams that have done it before. Like, Denver is a good example, right? Dallas. You got different teams that are out there that could make a run, could do some things that could change your mind. But right now, from where we sit, as you asked me the question, I don't have a team that I would count them out against other than Oklahoma City. Like, it's Oklahoma City. They're the clear class of the Western Conference.
You're talking about in like a 7-game series in the playoffs.
Just based off of what we've seen so far. Now, if we want to factor in history, pedigree, and who do you trust? Like, I wouldn't say I trust them more than some of those other teams, but based off of what we've seen them do so far and what we've seen those other teams do so far and who we've seen them beat, I would put them in the mix with anybody other than Oklahoma City right now.
All right, Brandon Scott, Rockets Report. I do want to get to some of the reports about De'Aaron Fox, and we've heard kind of mixed things from Kelly Iko, also different from Chris Mannix. I do want to get into that, but it feels like to me, and I'll speak for myself but others, the shift really has come in like the last month, and that's been the emergence of Amen Thompson. If you just go to and look at what his points per game are right now, you know, his numbers, like 12, 13 a game, whatever, that is not what he has started to trend towards. It seems like in the last month, I told Clint yesterday, it feels like he's grown in dog years just in the last month to step up to become this type of player. It feels like the change has started with him. Describe, because what is he?
Like, yeah.
What is, he's a great player. I heard you say you think he's already the best player on the team. But you look at his game, how do you explain it?
Yeah, it's hard to explain, and it doesn't – one way I would describe it is, like, it's not going to look like, or at least right now, it doesn't look like your traditional thought of what the best player on a team looks like. And that is, hey, you feed them the ball, they go get you a bucket when you need it. That's who you lean on for that particular thing, and that's your best player, right? And it's kind of easy to establish that. It doesn't quite look like that because it's not like he's the guy that you're running sets for, but clearly you can. Like, that's the evolution of his game now. Like, you can call a play for him, but you absolutely don't have to. All you got to do with Amen Thompson is put him on the floor and ask him to be himself, and he's going to go. And, like, y'all see the sequences where on this end, it's a block shot, then it's a rebound, or it's a block shot, it's a pass, and it's a dunk, and then it's a rebound, and you're like, wait a minute. 45 seconds passed, and he did like four different things.
Right.
He just recorded like four different stats. And so that's what the best player in his version of best player looks like, as opposed to Kobe.
Is there somebody comparative to that? That you would think of that is, because what it sounds like you're saying is somebody who has been like a number two. But what you sound like you're saying is Scotty.
I think you got to just like rethink the numbers because it's like
you could Draymond at his best when he scored.
You could compare him to Russell Westbrook. You could compare him to like a bigger Russell Westbrook. You could come because he can't shoot, but he can do pretty much everything else. Yeah. But he's bigger, so he can guard. He
defends so much better than Russ.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's what I'm saying. So, like, you, Russell Westbrook, Scottie Pippen, Kawhi Leonard before he really got his bag. You know, like, there's so many different, like, hints of a player that you can find in him.
That's a good
one. He's truly unique already.
Kawhi growing into the offensive game. Kawhi, his offensive game really picked up from those early years with the Spurs. And that's the ceiling part. That's a good one. And Kawhi,
even,
I like that one.
And even if it's just right now, it's, hey, you run your offense through your best offensive players, that being Şengün and Jalen Green, especially when he's on. Like, if Jalen Green is having a Jalen Green night, you might want to ride that hot hand. But that's where your offense is kind of centered around. But also keeping in mind that, hey, if the ball's not going through the net, Amen Thompson is going to be right there to grab the ball and start the fast break. You need somebody to guard the best player, no matter how big he is or what exactly his skill set is. Amen Thompson might be qualified to do that. And it's almost like, you know, a high-level Swiss Army knife, a sharp Swiss Army knife.
The Boston game was obviously big for Amen Thompson, but it was more than the big number he put in the box score. You know, as you mentioned, you know, he's getting rebounds, he's scoring around the bucket, but then he turns around and he's able to D up, you know, two of the best players, you know, in the league, kind of deal on the other end, that are bigger body, longer players, and he gives them fits.
Yeah,
like that. That's just the other thing to me with Amen Thompson. Like, I think the biggest compliment that could be paid to him or feather in the cap is the way, when guys have been injured recently, the way that Ime Udoka has clearly built it around him.
Yeah.
Like, I picked it up from Ime Udoka, one of the post-game pressers. He was talking about how Jabari went down and how that, you know, Amen Thompson stepped into some different roles and you know, ends up bringing the ball up the floor. And there was so much you could tell was built around his flexibility.
Yeah.
And Ime Udoka was really leaning into that. Like, I just think that's telling me that Udoka's confidence in old buddy is through the roof, well, man.
When you can do all the things,
sure,
then you can play with anybody.
Yeah.
Right? Like his only weakness in his game is his shooting. By the way, that's looking a little bit better than it had before. Like, even then, he's got a little bit of confidence, had the confidence to shoot that shot at the end of the game against Boston. Yeah. Like, even that seems to be improving. We would say that that's the weakness in his game, but pretty much everything else he does. And so that allows them to play him with anybody. I've said this. I don't want him coming off the floor unless something's wrong with him.
Yeah.
Right? Unless he really needs a breather or if he's injured, obviously. But if he's healthy and good to go, another benefit, dude doesn't seem to get tired. That's another Russell Westbrook comp. Like, he's got like the motor on top of the skill set. It is a very unique situation that they got with this dude.
What's your thoughts on what we're hearing about Chris Mannix? Yesterday said that the Rockets are a team to watch now that it's been reported the Kings are willing to hear talks on De'Aaron Fox, the point guard with the Kings. And then Kelly Iko today said that he doesn't, from sources he's hearing, that the Rockets won't be pursuing De'Aaron Fox first. From what you're hearing, where do you believe the Rockets may lean, and then your thoughts on maybe a move for a player like that?
Yeah, I would trust anything that Kelly reports is gospel when it comes to the Rockets. And for what it's worth, also, I point out that Adam Spillane has heard some of the same things that Kelly has, and they travel in the same circles, same information circles. So that is consistent with what we are hearing here as a station at Sports Radio 610, that they are not really in on not just De'Aaron Fox, but any of these big swing types, the way we kind of characterize it on this show, is like taking that big swing. They're not as interested in that. But they're always going to be a team to watch so long as they have these Suns picks that they went out there and got. So, like, they're dangling the Suns' future in the Suns' face and any other team that has a superstar that they might be interested in. So you can't count them out because they're one of the teams that clearly has the capital to go out there and execute this deal. And they have an obvious need for it, right? They're an up-and-coming team trying to get over the hump. So the logic just makes sense. But as far as what they're actually interested in and what we're hearing about, they feel comfortable with this core that they've got in the way that it has emerged in front of us.
How many off-limits guys you think is in that? Is in, like, as you said, they're comfortable with the core, but, you know, obviously there is a player that potentially would change them up. Anybody in the in this team on this team that's just off limits?
I would say Amen Thompson is the one off limits guy, and I think that Shingun and Jalen Green are pretty close to it. I don't think they're off limits, but it would take a lot. Like, it's not going to be a star that they like a lot. They got to be in love with him. And could it be like a Devin Booker situation? De'Aaron Fox fits that mold of player. We've heard that they're not as interested in that. But I would say that Amen Thompson is the one untouchable.
Hang up the phone.
Right? Hang up the phone. The other two are close, but I think Amen is the one hang up the phone, absolutely not for nobody.
All right, B. Scott, I know you're enjoying covering this team, and you'll be doing your thing as they continue to march through. They're off tonight, but they do face the Grizzlies coming up. They just keep playing the damn Grizzlies, it seems like, here of late. That's B. Scott coming up, 5 o'clock fire, the very latest on the OC search and some football news around the league for some teams that are trying to make some moves. That's coming up next.